Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Jennifer Jacobson. She's a Vedic astrologer. The last time I had her on the podcast was way back in September of 2021. It was episode 79. It's been too long. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
I love your content and I don't want to get into politics, but I have to tell everybody, Jennifer predicted the election and the tropical astrologers did not predict it correctly. So that got my attention again. And I was like, you know, I really resonated with Jennifer. So Jennifer, without getting into that part, can you tell me the basic differences between Vedic astrology and tropical astrology, the normal astrology that we've all heard of?
Sure, absolutely. So the big difference is that Vedic is a sidereal system. It follows the sidereal zodiac, which means it follows astronomy.
Okay.
And tropical is a seasonal system. Oh. And so it follows the seasons. What that basically means is that, so at the start of spring, which is the vernal equinox around March 21st or so,
okay,
tropical astrology says that the sun is entering 0 degrees Aries. So every zodiac sign, such as Aries, has 30 degrees in it, and zero is the first, the initiating part of that.
Okay.
And so they say, since, you know, everything is blooming outside, you know, there's this initiating energy of spring, it aligns with the initiating energy of Aries. Mm-hmm. And so they say the sun on this date enters 0 degrees Aries.
Okay.
The confusion can come in sometimes, especially with things like Vedic sidereal astrology, or if you pull out your, you know, an app where you can look and see where the planets and stars are in the sky,
yeah,
you'll find that on that date, the sun actually isn't in Aries. It is in 5 degrees Pisces.
You know, and you know, it's funny because it totally explains so much more to me. And we talked about this the first time I had you on, because I was like, I'm a Gemini in normal tropical astrology. And you were like, well, that's funny because you're really not, you're a Taurus. And then when you explained what a Taurus was, I was like, that is totally so much more me. And I think more people find that out when they get a reading from you, because they're like, that so explains why I don't feel like I'm a Gemini, or I don't feel like I'm a Capricorn, or I don't feel like whatever, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, we're brought up and we're told from the tropical perspective that we're one thing.
Yeah.
And then I have people come to me for Vedic astrology readings and I follow astronomy and I'm like, no, actually your sun isn't in Gemini. Your sun is in Taurus, for example.
Yeah.
And there's this identity crisis that can happen,
right,
because people have been so identified with one thing for so long.
I know, it's like you're getting gaslit on a daily basis, because, and I know that you think that there's a lot of good tropical astronomers. And I know it's really, like you just said earlier, before we started recording, it's more of a language difference than it is a right or wrong, correct?
Yeah, I don't like to say this is right and this is wrong, because there's so many possibilities in the universe, right?
Yeah, right?
And there's so many different perspectives. So I don't like to call somebody right or wrong. To me, that's a little egoistic to do that. So,
right.
But there is, it's different languages. They're two totally, completely different systems. One is seasonal and follows the seasons and casts the entire zodiac based on the seasons. That does not align with where the placements are in astronomy. Vedic follows astronomy. They're two different languages. And the disconnect is that we don't know that. There's not a lot of transparency about that.
Right. And that's why I wanted to spread awareness on Vedic astrology, because when you're following the planets, the literal planets, because I'm thinking, why hasn't it always just been Vedic? Why is it now tropical? That's the big popular one.
Well, actually, this goes way back in time. Once yeah. upon a time, you had astronomers who were also astrologers.
Okay.
And, you know, this is back in like Alexander the Great, you know, all of these, you know, way back. And so all of the astrology at one point did actually used to be sidereal and aligning with astronomy. And there was a moment in time, it was around 200, you know, something AD, where the seasonal calendar, March 21st, that time period of spring, really did actually align with 0 degrees Aries in the sidereal system according to astronomy. There were so many astrology books that were written at that time.
Yeah.
And it was then used, this calendar, seasonal calendar system, to be able to plant crops, to plan rituals, you know, all of these sorts of things. But then over time, that deviates.
Yeah.
Because the sky moves according to something called precession of the equinoxes, and the two systems separated from each other. And what happened is, you know, now we've got this big disconnect where the tropical system pulled away from the sky and it became its own separate thing. And now it's 24 degrees ahead of astronomy, basically.
Okay. And so there's your disconnect. There's the fact that I'm like, I don't feel like a Gemini. So
yes, because you're not.
Yeah, I know. And I asked Jennifer to do a quick little mini reading on mine. We won't talk about my age, but we will talk about, you know, the differences, and it's been so long since she's really done this for me. I don't remember every little thing she said, and she's not going to have this full on reading. This is not like a full reading, but this is something that she will tell me about myself, and I will either resonate or not. Have a feeling it's all going to resonate.
All right. So I'm looking at your chart right here. And so the first thing I want to say is that in Vedic sidereal, this is something that's also very different, is that we use 27 signs as opposed to 12.
Oh,
you know, okay. So there are 28 star constellations, 27 of them, one represents consciousness.
Okay.
And so we don't use that one. We use the other 27. And of these 27, you are a mula. Rising, you have Mula rising on your ascendant with the south node of the moon.
Okay.
And so Mula, this is Sanskrit language because this is all based in Vedic, you know, Indian philosophy. Okay. So Mula is a Sanskrit word that means roots. And so this makes you a very deeply mystical person who has a very inquisitive and investigative nature. So Mula, like I said, it means roots. It means getting to the root of things, yeah. Wanting to figure things out.
Yes.
Like your whole podcast is, I want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is you. This is like, when I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so her.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, you're driven by this need to uncover hidden truths, to dig down to the root of things and uncover hidden truths.
Okay.
And you have the south node of the moon on your ascendant, which gives you this ability to tap into the unseen. And this curiosity about that, and it could make you feel like part of you is in this material world and part of you is in a spiritual world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this gives you this strong connection to metaphysics. Mm. And you have this karmic journey, which really involves your spiritual exploration.
Yeah.
Does that sound like
so
you
so spot on? You know, because I've had other astrologers on and they're like, oh, you're so a Gemini. Let me tell you why. And that did resonate. And I understood that. This is a whole different take. And this feels more soul for me, like soulful, like what I'm here to do, you know?
Yes. And that's what the rising in Vedic astrology is. It's like the main theme of your life. What is the overarching theme of your life? And then what makes it even more fascinating is we look at then what are you doing with all of that? Well, your Jupiter, because Mula actually falls in the sidereal zodiac into Sagittarius.
Okay.
Which means your planetary ruler is Jupiter, which is all about teaching and educating other people. And it goes into your fifth house of Aries in your zodiac chart.
Oh, wow.
And that is all about self-expression, expressing yourself.
Oh.
And your Jupiter is in another star called Bharani. Bharani is ruled by Venus. That's another neat thing about Vedic astrology is that the stars like Mula, Mula is ruled by Ketu, the okay. south node of the moon. Bharani is ruled by Venus.
Okay.
So you have the zodiac sign of Aries being ruled by Mars, but you also have Bharani being ruled by Venus. So it adds another layer of depth.
Nice.
And Venus gives you creativity here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what you're doing with this path is this deep exploration and curiosity, but also there's a drive in your soul to express itself and express itself creatively.
Wow. Okay.
And you have strong intelligence. The fifth house is the house of our intellect. So you're a passionate storyteller and a very creative person that loves to deal with things like the afterlife. Bharani is a star of life and death.
You know I do.
I know you do. I know you do. And you also have Mars and Mercury here in your fifth house, which gives you this fiery, sharp intellect. You have a lot of determination. And the star that your Mars and Mercury in is called Kritika. Kritika is where we get our word to cut. And it means like the ability to cut out what is not necessary, to cut out the illusion, the delusion, the fog of the mind, and like get straight to the point and straight to the truth. And if, I mean, that's just so you.
It is so me. You know, I don't like small talk. I would rather stick needles in my eyes. I really would. I mean, I would rather a stranger come up to me and say, so what'd you think about your life? As opposed to, isn't the weather great? No, I don't want to talk to you.
Right. And that's just that not being interested in small talk is Kritika. That's the star Kritika. Okay. And then the deep truth is your rising Mula.
Wow. Okay. And then when I was talking to you earlier, I was like, yeah, you said I'm a Taurus, and you're like, that's why you like to decorate. And I'm like, oh.
Yes, your sun is in Rohini, Taurus. And Rohini, this has a love for beauty, luxury. Okay. You know, it's also, it wants to create beautiful spaces. It's again, you know, Taurus is ruled by Venus.
Oh, okay.
So you want to create beautiful spaces. And the interesting thing about this is it falls into your sixth house. So this is the part of you that also wants to figure out things. The sixth house is like a problem solving. Mm. It's also our house of personal growth. So you want to figure things out. You love to solve problems. You're analytical. You're all about personal growth. You know, you want to create beautiful spaces, not only in your surroundings, but also inside your own mind and heart, and make your own self more beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's a driving force in me to honestly continue evolving. I never want to be stagnant. I want to learn. I want to understand. I want to be better and better every day if I possibly can. Not even just for me, for everyone else. And I know that sounds, oh, what are you doing? I mean, it's just the truth. That's really how I feel.
Yes. And that's very much the sixth house. You want to grow. Your Rohini Taurus here wants to grow. It wants to evolve. Yeah. And then this is a neat thing about Vedic, going back to those planets. So Rohini is ruled by the moon. And your moon is actually in Aquarius, in a star called Purva Bhadrapada, which wants to evolve. It wants to improve. It wants to raise awareness. Wow. It wants to elevate itself and other people that are around it to like a new level.
Okay. See that? It's just, I've never had a reading so spot on in how I genuinely feel in my gut and my soul. It's one thing to say, hey, you got this personality and you're bubbly and you're this, and I can be, you know, I can rise up to that. You know, I can do all those things. I'm a multitasker when it comes to personality, right? I can turn it on and turn it off. And I'm very tired after a while of being around a lot of people. I get mentally exhausted by that. And that's why I don't do a whole lot of big things anymore. I realized it's not for me. So, but guys, when you hear Jennifer talk to me like this, this is the kind of stuff that she will bring to the table for your readings. This is why I wanted her to do a mini one on me, so you can understand how she works, how she can describe you to a T, but also maybe help you with things that are going wrong or right, or your future, or something you can help with the past. I have a feeling she could probably give you more insight on those kinds of things. Am I right?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay, good. Because that's the whole thing. I mean, there's one thing about, like I said, tropical astrology that can, you know, kind of give you some predictions, just like Jennifer can. But honestly, I feel like it's a soul thing for me with this Vedic astrology. And it's a shame that not more people know about this. And that's one of many reasons I wanted more people to know about this. So we're not talking about, Jennifer, we're not talking about like in tropical astrology, they say you have your moon in Pisces, or you have, I mean, I know we have those things, but it's a lot deeper than that, because you're working with, what you say, 27 planets?
27 signs, 27 star constellations. Okay. Okay. Yes. And, you know, it's really supposed to tell you who you are. You know, Vedic astrology is deeply psychological. Mm. It tells you about the themes that govern your life. It tells you the curriculum that you are sort of living out and exploring and learning through in this lifetime. Tells you your challenges, your strengths, how to co-participate with your life's curriculum. It's incredibly in depth, and it's meant to, you know, to really tell you who you are and to help you understand yourself on very, very deep levels.
Right. So because you can look ahead on things, tell me what you're seeing in the collective, you know, as in the worldview of Vedic astrology.
We have a lot of changes that are coming up in 2025. Everything is changing dramatically. We have a huge, very fascinating solar eclipse coming up on March 29th of 2025. And it will be in Pisces. And what's interesting about this is there are six planets that are going to be aligned in Pisces on this solar eclipse. And the very next day, we're going to have Saturn, which Saturn is a slow moving planet. It stays in a sign for 2.5 years. Okay. It will move into Pisces in the sidereal zodiac on March 30th, the very next day. So this solar eclipse is going to be in a star called Uttara Bhadrapada, which is a star of the depths. Like, what is hidden? So this is going to sort of catalyze a profound shift in the collective on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a societal level, where what is hidden will be brought to light. It's going to ask us to look at the division that is happening in the collective. It's going to ask us to confront illusions. It's going to ask us to start to embrace love and compassion and heal the division, because Pisces is all about unity. So there could be some sort of collective awakening that happens, because there might be some kind of event that happens around this time of March 29th to 30th of 2025 that sort of brings us all together as a country. Or it could just be that the collective shadow becomes so apparent and it comes to the surface and is exposed in a larger way. But there's also going to be, you know, this is happening in the fourth house of the United States chart. So just like people have, you know, natal charts, the United States has a chart. And it's also, ironically, a Moolah rising, just like you. And so this will be actually happening in your fourth house of your chart.
Okay.
Now that I'm thinking about that, and this is happening in the fourth house of the United States chart.
Oh, wow.
So this is the fourth house is our emotional foundations, our sense of security, you know, our happiness as a people in this country. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of change. We also have Pluto is currently right now in Capricorn, which is government, you know, it's changing government.
Okay.
And Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. And so Saturn is going to move into Pisces, which is going to bring structure to things that have been a little bit ungrounded. We're going to see a lot of systems change, institutions change. You know, there could be a period of what feels like a little bit of confusion, you know, overwhelm, like as old, outdated beliefs are changing, like we're changing, like we're really going to have to ask ourselves, who are we? What are our values?
Well, you know, I can't help but go to the aliens. Okay. What do you think about that?
It could be, you know, it could be. I mean, Pisces, Uttara Bhadrapada, what's really fascinating, you know, talk about aliens. So this, you know, recently the House Oversight Committee just met. And there was all of this information that was released that we have aliens in our oceans. And this is the star Uttara Bhadrapada. So this is a very fascinating angle that I've been following as well. Because so all of these star constellations there also have symbols. And the symbol for this is the serpent of the deep. And And so it's like the serpent of the deep waters. And so maybe this event that is going to happen could have something to do with aliens. Who knows?
And it's really going to affect me like it affects the United States.
Correct.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll take it, right?
Exactly. And we're going to have Rahu. We're going to have Rahu, the north node of the moon, move into Aquarius around May of next year. And Ketu, the south node of the moon, move into Leo. So what's fascinating about that is there's going to be this movement away from ego and everybody being like so stubbornly invested in their own individual belief systems, and instead focusing more on the collective, which is Aquarius, and what's best for all of us, and opening our minds to new ways of seeing things. And we're going to have massive growth in communication and technology and AI. That's falling into the third house of the United States chart.
Well, you know,
so we're going to see everything. We're going to see AI boom.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing, though. To me, that's got to be the alien aspect of all this, because we all start thinking up together, because you kind of got to let go of some of the beliefs you've had all your lives. And that's not to say you can't be, you know, loving the God that you love, all the things. I don't mean that. But you might be tearing down a little wall of a certain aspect of it and going, okay, this is maybe not true that I've been taught, but let me explore this other thing, because now we're all together. We're all humans, and these people are not, or these things are not, and they're going to help us and maybe bring technology and all of the things. And we're all, hopefully as a collective, pulling down those walls, and it's a good thing, I hope.
I think it's a good thing. I actually think there might be a little bit of, you know, of reorientation and restructuring,
and
some
overnight.
People might react to that. But on the other side of everything, I see it all being incredibly positive. And what's fascinating about the alien thing, you know, and the fact that, you know, we're going to have this big eclipse in Pisces and Saturn moving into Pisces next year is, you know, Pisces is, it is about our belief systems, but it's also about religion. And, you know, aliens, you know, that can rock a couple religious beliefs.
That's exactly what I was talking about. No, it really can. And you know, and I, like I said, I'm not saying you shouldn't believe the way you believe, but it might make you rethink it and reevaluate it in a good way, not ever in a bad way, you know, never.
Exactly.
Because that's not what we're talking about. But I've had an alien expert on my podcast who says, there are thousands of ships all surrounding, you know, or millions of ships surrounding the Earth. You just can't see them. And they have a cloaking device and all that. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I think they've been here a long time, whether they're there or they're in the oceans or they're in outer space, whatever. And I think we might even have some of their DNA. I'm kind of thinking we do.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Know,
and you know, I think it would be ignorant of us to think that we are the only thing that is in the solar system.
And there's things that, you know, just during that conference they had, the UAP disclosure conference with the House, you know, they were talking about this kind of stuff. This is happening. There's evidence that we are connected with them. There's evidence of it. They can't go further than that, and they have to be tight-lipped about it. Because I do think a lot of people would be very frightened if they were to hear. I mean, I'm not going to lie. If an alien came up to me in broad daylight and landed in my 35 acres of pasture, you know what I mean? I would be a little freaked out.
Right.
So, I mean, you know? And I think they know that. So, but I also think if they are going to display themselves, it's got to be in a way where no one can doubt it. There's no AI.
They're preparing us.
I do too. I have to say I do too. And I'm ready for them. I think we're destroying ourselves. I mean,
there's so much change coming. It's like, bring it on.
Right. And it's funny because to me, you're saying in March of 2025, that's like around the corner.
It is around the corner, right? It is around the corner. Yeah, we have big changes. Next spring is going to initiate incredible change between March and May of next year for everybody in everybody's chart, including the United States.
Yeah. Well, girl, I'm so like fascinated by the Vedic part of this, not the tropical as much now, because it so aligns with, like I said, it's like a deep root in my soul when you're telling me and describing what I am. No one in tropical astrology ever described me like that. They would say things that would ring true to a point, but I think that's kind of more general. And I like, you know me, that's why I have the podcast. I want to get to the root of it. And you got to the root of it.
Yes, and that's what moolah means. You said deep root into my soul, and I want to get to the root of things.
Yes.
And that's the neat thing about these nakshatra star constellations in Vedic is that, you know, we resonate with it on such a deep level that we will even say, like you just said, deep root in my soul, you know, and you like you, your very nature is to get to the root of things.
Yeah.
And so it's just bringing out something that is already inside of you anyway.
Right. And it does depend on the time you're born, just like tropical. It depends on the city you're born in. It depends on the actual date. All of those things are the same, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, the time you're born is absolutely crucial because this is even more specific than tropical. And so little deviations in time make a huge difference. So I always tell everybody, make sure that you, you know, look at your birth certificate, get the time that's on your birth certificate, right, because 15 minutes can make a world of a difference. But yes, you need your accurate birth time. You need the place that you were born, just the city and state. Right. And then of course your date of birth.
Right. Now, are you able to also give people advice on their health or what they should look out for? Those kinds of things too?
Yes, you can see all of that in the chart. Absolutely. Oh, wow. And a very fascinating thing about Vedic astrology is that it aligns with another system called Ayurveda, which is Indian medicine, is a form of Indian medicine. And so, you know, when a person goes to study Ayurveda, they actually have to learn Jyotisha. They have to learn Vedic astrology. Oh. Jyotisha is the, I guess, more formal name for Vedic astrology. Okay. But the two systems are integrated with one another. So there's actually quite a lot we can see from a person's chart. We can see health. And a neat thing about the Vedic astrology chart as well is that each nakshatra star constellation, those 27 signs I was telling you about, they have so many things associated with them. They have body parts associated with them. Like, example, a star called Shatabishak. Right now, Saturn in the sky is transiting a star called Shatabishak, and it's connected to the jaw. Mm-hmm. So there could be people, if this star is in a specific place in their chart, if it's anyway aspecting their sixth house, they could be having, you know, jaw difficulties. They could have TMJ problems, or maybe they're having to have root canals or dental work done, or, you know, so it is, it's fascinating how the health element aligns as well.
Wow. I had no idea it was that good. Okay. Wow.
It gets pretty specific.
Well, you know, when you go in deeper and like I said, or like you said, with the 27 signs, I mean, it's not just 12. That's that to me. I mean, I don't know how you keep up with all that, girl.
It's a lot. But you know what? When you learn it, a lot of people get, you know, they think about that and they're like, oh my gosh, it sounds so overwhelming to learn Jyotisha. And it's actually, it's really not. If you go, like, I actually have a course, an online course that I built called The Fundamentals of Jyotisha. And what I do is I walk people through it from the very beginning, like a beginner level. And when you do it really slowly and you go step by step, it's actually kind of easy to learn. It's not as overwhelming as people think it is.
Right.
It's just a different system.
Right. No, exactly. And because honestly, I know a little bit about astrology, the tropical astrology, nothing about Vedic. So that's why I was like, let's just come on and talk about it and introduce all my listeners to this other whole world of astrology that I literally had no idea of until about 3 years ago when we first met.
And I'm so excited. I'm so glad that you have found this and that we found each other and that you're learning about this and that there's some awareness that is being brought to Vedic astrology and how it's different from tropical, because I think that that conversation needs to happen. And I'm so grateful to be here and having this conversation with you.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, I love you to death. But also, when I've talked to my tropical astrologers and I say, what do you think about Vedic? They'll be like, well, I don't really identify with it, or I don't really know that much. Or they're just like, well, it's just different than ours. They don't really have anything bad to say. It's just, it's one of those things where they're like, we don't know it enough to know anything about it, really.
Well, and a lot of times what people will do is they don't realize that in Vedic astrology, we prioritize those 27 star constellations over the 12 star constellations of the zodiac signs. So what they'll try to do is they'll go from, like, for example, you know, like Sun in Gemini to Sun in Taurus, and they'll be like, oh, there's no way I'm a Sun in Taurus, you know, or there's no way my moon is this. And it's like, but that's a very superficial way of looking at it. You really have to deeply understand the themes and the stories of the nakshatra star constellations, those 27 signs, and understand how to read the chart before, you know, you can't just easily compare and be like, oh, no, I'm not that.
Right.
You know, because there is so much depth to it. And the nakshatras are really what you have to look at in order to even start to make that determination. So a lot of people will just give up immediately looking and go, oh, no, my sun isn't that, or my moon isn't that, without actually really, you know, diving deeper into it.
Well, it's just become so mainstream that, like I said, I had no idea. And, you know, and I agree, any astrology, and you're more astronomy kind of based. I mean, I know the moon creates waves in the ocean, you know, the gravity of pull. And I know those basic things. That's pretty easy. That's not hard to think. But, you know, when you do this kind of work, and my thing is too, and this might be a really deep question, and after this, I'll tell everybody how they can find you and all that. Why do the planets affect us? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's because they all have energy. They all have
Okay.
gravitational pulls.
Yeah.
It's just exactly like the moon.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
the moon and the sun are so close to us. If we didn't have the sun, we would all die.
Right.
We're dependent upon the sun's rays. And it has a certain gravitational pull. If the sun was not at a certain gravitational, you know, or a certain distance from the earth, you know, it would not be able to support life. If
Right.
the moon wasn't also in a specific distance from Earth, it wouldn't be able to support life. And you
Right.
said it perfectly with the moon. The moon affects the gravitational tides, you know, of the waters.
Yeah.
It also affects our psychology. I have so
True.
Many clients, interestingly enough, who are nurses or doctors, and they will tell you that during a full moon,
oh, yeah.
it's like lunacy in
the
ER, or,
yeah.
you know, and teachers will tell you, you know, cops will tell you.
Yes.
The other planets are exactly the same. They have a gravitational pull. They have an energy of their own. Why would they not affect us the same way the sun and the moon does? We just haven't researched it enough to see that.
Exactly. And when you said energy, I mean, come on. Everything is energy, right?
Right.
You know, we can't create it or destroy it. It only changes form. And why wouldn't it affect us in our own bodies and in our own mindsets too? Wow. Okay. So tell everyone how they can find you, Jennifer. Tell them all of the information about you.
So my business is called Vishaka, and I have a website, which is www.soulpathcoaching.net. They can go to that website. They can also find me. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook with the handle Vishaka, V-I-S-H-A-K-H-A. _ school.
Okay.
So Vishaka School. And they can find me there.
Yeah. Listen, because guys, if you want a reading from Jennifer, she gets booked up pretty fast, let me tell you. So check her out and check out her school too, if you guys are interested in learning this, because I'm telling you, I'm fascinated by her work. And it just, guys, it just goes deeper than anything I've ever seen in tropical. So Jennifer, it's been so good having you on the podcast, and you're amazing.
Thank you so much. It's been such a joy talking to you.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.